State board will come back to order. The next item on the agenda is individual board member reports on previous or upcoming activities. And then, do we have a sign-in sheet for public comment?
Yeah.
We'll follow the board report. So, members, Dr. Schroeder, please.
I don't remember the date, but I had an opportunity sometime in the last 2 weeks to attend a really great, I guess it was kind of a panel discussion in St. Vrain at Skyline High School. It included the superintendent, the governor, Secretary Duncan, a couple of business people from the community, a student, a teacher. I'm close. And it was about the STEM work that they've been doing in St. Vrain in the STEM school. And honored were quite a number of graduates from the STEM school and all the work that they had done and the laboratory program they have, and it was really inspiring. Of course, the kids, as always, stole the show. They were really some very, very successful students who were getting their high school diplomas, but they were also really strong in STEM. It was just really a great program. It's a great model. St. Vrain is going to be going one-to-one computers. They've had some really great federal grants, which I think is one of the reasons Secretary Duncan wanted to attend the program. But it was really quite inspiring and gratifying. And at this point, there are discussions between St. Vrain and IBM, and I think the commissioner about hopefully having a P-Tech school in that district. That would be the first one west of the Mississippi. It would be a huge, it's a 6-year high school, very tech oriented. It would be a huge
P-tech.
Thing.
What's P-tech. That stand for?
Robert, do you know?
My mind's not functioning.
Nobody.
I don't know that acronym.
I'll Google it.
I don't know either.
I can't, I did know, but I can't recall.
P-Tech. I don't know if it's an acronym.
P-Tech High. Mm-hmm.
P-Tech High School.
It's a 6-year program.
It's a 6-year program. Has a lot of technology, a lot of training. It is in partnership with IBM and other parts of the country. There's at least one in New York. That's been in the press, the TV press, pretty extensively.
No.
But it's a great program. Thanks.
End of report? Excellent. Elaine waves me off. Anyone down this way? Individual board member reports. Jane, please.
Related to that, I spent a Saturday morning watching the first ever U.S. House app contest. The U.S. House, several of the congressional representative delegation sponsored a competition for high school STEM. These two competitors were from STEM programs. One was North Glen High School in Thornton, North Glen, and the other was Westminster High School in Adams 50. So the two teams competed, and they were presenting their designs and their apps to a panel of experts. North Glen High School ended up prevailing as the winner, so will such have a their app will be posted on the U.S. House website for a year. So it was great to interact with those students and their teachers. And they were talking a lot afterwards about the school day and kind of the normal run for these students within a STEM program that is very well and naturally taken for granted in a good way, integrated with the rest of the school program. These kids also study arts along with their sciences and their math and their engineering programs, and that was delightful to watch them be awarded. I also, along with Dr. Asp and Dr. Melissa Colesman, spent a wonderful lunch with our deputy Japanese consul, who is based in the Denver area, and we talked a lot about general things. We've met him last year. He visited us about a year ago as well. In the interest of learning more about the education programs and systems in Colorado, how we might continue to interact, connect, compare notes a little bit, keep up with each other about what's going on. Not a lot of talk about international anything, comparisons. We talk mostly about Colorado and what is going on here and the Japanese interest in maintaining the friendship and the partnership and the alliance, so to speak, for young people in their schooling that's existed for decades between our two countries. So that was delightful. And it was a traditional Japanese lunch. We were treated very well, and it was great. It was a good experience. So those are my highlights. In a little bit, and after we're finished here, maybe this evening, I will talk to board members about the possibility of considering a nomination from our board for one of the awards that NASB will be giving out later this year around policy leaders, Colorado Policy Leaders of the Year nominees. We'll talk about that on the offline time. So I just wanted to give you a heads up about that.
Okay. Thank you much. Yeah. Other board member reports? None? Excellent. Well, then we'll move on to public comment. We are very pleased to be able to have public comment so far away from Denver. It's nice to hear some voices. I know many people traveled, but hopefully we're hearing some voices, and I spoke to some folks here I think are a little more local. Our ground rules are 3 minutes to present. I've got a little timer that'll clang when you get to the end of 3 minutes. Certainly take the time to finish your thought, finish your sentence, but don't start a new thought or new paragraph, if you would, please. We'll call names up in the order that they've signed up, and then we'll kind of sweep the room to make sure that anybody who didn't get a chance to sign up has an opportunity to speak. First person is David Cox, and it says, for Congress, please, if you would, identify where you're from, and if you're speaking on behalf of an organization, identify that. If you're speaking on behalf of yourself, yep, that would be fine right there. Please state that as well. Mr. Cox.
Hey, good afternoon. My name is David Cox, and I am a candidate for the 3rd Congressional District. And what I'm addressing today is pertinent to Common Core. I think that's why quite a few folks are here. And what I'd like to state is that Common Core is a example of the overreach of the federal government, the unconstitutional, unlawful, and truly criminal relationship expansion of their power in the states. And The reason that it is allowed and the reason that we tolerate this expansion of power into our sphere of influence and what belongs here in the state of Colorado, not in Washington, D.C., is because they have money. Now, we know that the school districts need money and that they are beholden to the interests that control that money when those interests offer the money up. So the federal government has taken action through Common Core and through No Child Left Behind and through the Department of Education at the federal level to control education and to manipulate the process. This is, in fact, a dramatic, destructive element to local education control, to parents, to teachers, to administrations, in the schools here at the local level. So I am raising my voice and speaking out against this process of, I would call it, bastardization of what distributed powers give us and define in our constitutional republic. So if I can encourage this board to continue, I know that you guys took action recently to oppose testing standards from the federal government, and I applaud you for that. So anything you guys can do to remove the stranglehold of federal control over our education system is a huge help to education and to our families and our community. So thank you very much.
Mr. Cox, thank you very much. Barbara Hewlett. And again, if you'd identify on behalf of whom you're speaking, and if it's as an individual, that's great as well. Just let us know.
Barbara Hewlett, individual. And I'm going to regress to the last time I saw you guys, and that was in January, right before our mom's bill was being read. And I had the opportunity to be with my daughter that day in the Senate. But I want to address some things that have happened since. I want to speak today about the knowledge as citizens that we have, that we know that you all do not vote with the legislators. It is being said over and over again that we think that you all are voting with our legislatures. And we know better. We're a little bit smarter than that. We also know that you can support issues. And I appreciate those of you that are sitting on this board that supported our mom's bill, Senate Bill 136. You know who you are, and I want to thank you personally for that support. It is also said over and over again that we have local control. I started with my school district, and I may have said this before in January. I ended up on the steps of my Capitol because there is no local control. The legislature adopted bills 212 and 191. Through those bills, Common Core was introduced in two subject areas in our state standards, Colorado state standards, in two subject areas, mathematics, English, and language arts. We all know that. I am also told that the locals have control over curriculum. So my question is, if we have control over curriculum, then my school district could decide to have a classical curriculum that would not align with the assessments that align with Common Core, because everyone is telling me that we all have local control. So how does that work? If there is local control, and if my school district decides on a classical education, how will those students do on the assessments that are aligned with Common Core? Then the teachers are held accountable 50% on how their students do on the assessment. And I would like that question answered. And along with, and I understand that you can't answer questions, but I also recognize that control is coming from DC, and it is controlling not only our public schools, but our charter schools. Bills 212 and 191 are controlling also charter schools. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. Kelly McGuire.
I'm Kelly McGuire. I'm from Grand Junction. I teach in the area, but I'm speaking as an individual. I want you guys to think about the last time you took PARC. Did you take PARC? No? I took CSAP. I was one of the first kids in the state to take CSAP. And I remember hating it and blowing it off. And I got partially proficient. Today, I'm still successful. I hold a master's degree. And many of my students blew off TCAP and PARC. And my only concern is, what are we really measuring with these tests? And what is it really showing us about our students? And I don't think it's showing us very much.
Thank you very much. Anita Stapleton.
Thank you, State School Board, President Lundeen, and Commissioner Hammond for listening to my concerns. Today, I am submitting into evidence 312 letters of opposition to Common Core, totaling to date 2,423. I have concerns regarding the further implementation of the park testing in our state. I would like to know, what are the park spring field test school completion results? Specifically, how many park field test schools successfully administered and uploaded actual completed tests within the testing window? Which schools are these? I am also requesting a copy of the policies and procedures regarding what districts are to do when parents exercise their parental refusal to have students tested. The literature sent out by the CDE, the myth and fact sheet to the superintendents, is unacceptable to me. Currently, districts are punt kicking and telling parents they are handling the situation the way the state tells them to. This is simply not true when districts do extreme opposites of one another. For example, Moffitt School District physically banned students from entering the building during the testing days and instructing the mother not to return her student for 1 week until the testing was completed or over, even on makeup days. Then was threatened with truancy, and the children were marked unexcused. Another mom in Longmont told me she could not bring her students to school at all during test days, whereas in Littleton, a principal allowed a non-testing student to enter the school, go to a separate area, and work on other work until the testing was over, and then integrated back into the classroom. And in my district, my student was allowed to return to school at 10:30 after the testing was over and never was marked absent or unexcused. So the spectrum goes from bullying and threatening behavior to working with the parents. I am asking for a policy, written policy, that the districts can use as guidance to help with this situation, because there will be more civil disobedience and parent refusal this next school year, and I'm just forewarning you to be prepared for that. I am also requesting in writing the clearly defined policy and explanation of what a non-participation zero means and how it does or does not affect school accountability. I do know principals at different districts have confirmed that the non-participation zero is null and void related to school accountability. However, they also have divulged that what they are concerned about losing is the participation points or reward points that are being offered by the CDE if the schools reach 95% participation in school testing on the park. These points could be used to go towards getting the school out of their at-risk status. This sounds like another golden carrot that does not have anything to do with student achievement.
Thank you, Anita. Arlisha McGrath. Did I say that right? Is it Arlisha?
You did. This is my first time being here in this forum. I am a Colorado resident. I am from El Paso County, but I currently reside in Germany. I am a Department of Defense employee with 22 years of experience in the early childhood field, 17 years of that working for the United States Air Force. As a concerned citizen of Colorado, I've become educated and concerned about the implementation of Common Core in our state and across the country and in our Dodd schools. I'm speaking out today because of my expertise in the field of early childhood development and the implementation of teaching strategies GOLD for preschool children in our state. I know that TS GOLD aligns with Common Core standards. I believe that it is not good for children. It's not developmentally appropriate. Rigorous testing and standards for a preschool child, it's just not necessary. As a Department of Defense employee and working in early childhood, we are mandated by public law to be accredited. The U.S. government has adopted the National Association for the Education of Young Children's standards and criteria. There's almost 500 criteria that we have to meet and 10 standards. They're very, very high quality standards, so I'm very familiar that standards are important when it comes to education. I am just concerned that our country, our state specifically adopting standards for preschool children that are just not developmentally appropriate. I've talked to many military parents, teachers in DoDEA schools that are very concerned about Common Core coming to that setting. Of course, we're all federal government, so they kind of have to take it. The Air Force child development programs do not have to take it right now because we are accredited by NAUIC. So I just wanted to come and share my concerns. I'm on leave for a month. I had the opportunity to come here today and represent my county, El Paso County, and would like some of the things that I have discussed to be taken into consideration when you're thinking about how young children learn, grow, and develop. I'll be honest, I'm kind of ignorant to the elementary school on up. I'm becoming more educated. I do not have children of my own to represent for them, but I am an aunt. And so I am concerned for my nieces and nephews in the state of Colorado and the education that they're going to be receiving or getting now and in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Rhonda Scroggins.
We're good at that.
My name is Rhonda Scroggins. I'm work at Palisade High School. I'm the librarian, tech rep, NHS advisor, and I am now the park coordinator. We have done the pilot testing there. What I have put in front of you guys is what our fourth quarter will look like next year. Using the data with the computers we have now, with the students that we, the amount of students that we have, and the school calendar for next year. And from a 40 days of instruction, we go way down to 14 days at times. The front page is actually the library calendar, and you'll notice that there are only 2 to 3 days when we are open. And you need to understand at our school that the library is the only place where we have technology that is not being used by a class at all times. So other classes, this is the only place they have to come for technology and resources. On the second page, 2A, 2B, 2B is just the end of 2A, 3B is the end of 3A. 2A and B, that was taking a Math 2 class from this year and looking at every student in there. If at the same class next year, they went from 40 instructional days to only 22 instructional days, and this was a very small class of only 17 students. If you change just a few of those last names, it goes from 40 instructional days where you have all your kids to only 14 days where you have all of your students in the class and there aren't kids out testing. So as you can see, we really are no longer teaching or making available for our students to learn. We're just having the time for them to regurgitate. And I can answer whatever questions you have as of my school. I can't answer for any other school. This is just what it looks like for mine.
Thank you, Rhonda. Barbara Ann Smith, whom I believe is a candidate for this very board.
That's right. My name is Dr. Barbara Ann Smith, and I am a candidate for the State Board of Education from the 3rd Congressional District. And I just want to commend you for coming over here. I just don't think this is the best place because it's hard for parking, for people to come here. It's a lot of walking, and there are better places, and I just would like to see you to come over more. I know I can pack with your room with more people. Thank you very much for writing a resolution and passing a resolution to withdraw from park testing. My question is this. It's not very complicated. Why did you do it? I mean, I know why it needed it, but did you have a study? What prompted you to do that at this particular time? I know you can't answer.
Yeah, our tradition is we just take public comments.
Really,
so
like
we'd be glad to hear
that.
Your thoughts.
Yeah.
If you have conclusions you'd like to draw, we'd love to hear them.
Okay. I've read a lot, and I've gone to classes for a couple years on this Common Core, and it just seems to me that you did make the right decision, but it took a long time coming. Did you not have the votes? And we need to do more of educating the public. I'm going to hold June the 3rd at the Booklift Country Club a class on Common Core, everything you wanted to know about it, and Anita Stapleton, who I consider an expert, is going to put it on for me, and we're going to limit it to about 50 people because I have to pay for lunch or dinner, whatever we're doing. But I'd like to see more of that around the state because people over here in Mesa County have not really been educated on what Common Core is about, the pros and the cons, so they can make up their own decision. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anne, struggling with the last look, is it Conaway? I'm not a pharmacist, but I can discern most, and it's actually not that
it's
cluttered.
Okay, so. Most people forget the middle A, so that's okay. I am Ann Conaway, and I've been teaching high school mathematics for 22 years, 21 of them at Palisade High School. I've been nationally board certified in my field since 1998. I am one of the old dogs in the teaching profession these days. My teaching schedule includes struggling learners, some of them staffed through our special education department. I also teach advanced placement calculus, and I also teach math in our international baccalaureate program. In my spare time for the past 3 years, I've been the district content specialist for high school math, but I'm not here in any capacity other than a high school classroom teacher. When I got my first teaching job, I was handed an Algebra 1 pre-algebra textbook and an Algebra 2 textbook and said, teach. And I modeled everybody else. I opened up to page 1 and I started teaching, and where we landed is where we landed. I was a classroom teacher when Colorado first adopted the academic standards, and I fully remember the fear and discomfort the teachers had. I was one of those teachers. We were going to be held accountable. At the time, we thought those original standards were too rigorous. We're never going to get there. We had very specific questions. What's all that geometry doing in ninth grade? We adjusted. As professionals, we started conversations about what our students need to learn in order to be successful. We talked to each other about curriculum. We moved content to teach to the standards. And agreement was reached about what each course should look like so students were successful in that course and subsequent courses. Then Colorado revised and raised the original standards. Teachers and districts adjusted. We panicked again, and we adjusted. Now we have revised even more rigorous standards to adjust to. With the Colorado academic standards aligning to the Common Core, we now have access to a growing pool of resources. Teachers from across the country are developing and sharing rich learning activities to help our students understand mathematics. It's a great place to be right now. My advanced placement students are held to high, rigorous international standards. My IB students have high, rigorous international standards. Why shouldn't the rest of my students have access to high, rigorous academic standards? Don't all my students deserve the opportunity to show that they can be successful? I'm not in favor of teaching to any test. As long as an assessment mirrors the standards, I can celebrate with my students as we track their growth. I've done that for years on CSAP, and I look forward to doing that on the PARC test. I was also here when CSAP first started, and it wasn't pretty for the first 4 years. I remember the first year that the state provided us with labels for the booklets, and we didn't have to do all the bubbling in. That was a huge celebration. In my class today, I got to listen as a struggling learner explained why profit is quadratic and costs are linear, and what the intersection of those two graphs meant to that corporation that was in that word problem. That young lady was proud of herself for understanding the concepts. Rigor, yes. Achievable, yes. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Matt Deers.
Thank you, and thank you for coming to Western Colorado. It's nice to be here. I am the principal at Palisade High School. I've been in this business for about 28 years as a teacher and a coach and assistant principal. And much of what we as educators educate students by holding them to high and rigorous academic standards, I'm here to stand by that model. To know we are successful in this, We need to measure our students against the learning of those others in content standards across the state and also across the country. To aim lower at lower student performance and lessen the bar than we currently attain will require our educational system to be and go backwards here in the 21st century. Even though the measurement of these standards is in question and the effectiveness sometimes comes under fire, I'm a firm proponent in the belief that all community members, not just parents and teachers, should know how well each of their students perform against other schools in the city, in the state, or against the country. Then our teachers and schools can be proud of themselves. A culture of school accountability and measure of quality academic standards has changed our profession. I believe that there is no turning back the calendar on what we should expect our students to know and be able to do, nor should we regress to previous levels of student expectations, lessen the quality of that content, academic standards, or performance, and ultimately the sacrifice student and student success. I'm here today to ask the board and the professionals to maintain those high standards. Let us continue to implement the new higher academic standards and assessments, and the children of Colorado can meet the bar that we set for them. As a high school principal, I can tell you that we are a park pilot in the state of Colorado. We successfully completed park in Math 1, Math 2. Some other schools did Math 2 and Math 3. I can tell you that we did park again today for English Language Arts. That test went off without a hitch, you know, and it got done. Now, it is a little intrusive. We do have to take time out from resources in the building. Our library gets shut down. Computer labs get shut down. That kind of thing happens. But, you know, those are things that we'll have to adjust with. But there's no ducking the idea that we can shy away from current and content standards in the state of Colorado or the nation. So we need to just keep on doing what we're doing because students will succeed in our current efforts. Thank you.
Thank you. Carla Haas.
Hi, my name is Carla Haas. I'm in my 21st year of teaching, and I am currently a mathematics teacher at Central High School here in Grand Junction. I've also been the math curriculum specialist for School District 51 for 5 years before returning to the classroom. I've been working on curriculum in School District 51 for the past 9 years. I was honored to be awarded the Math Leadership Award, the first one ever, by the state Colorado
Council of Teachers of Mathematics. Thank you. In addition, I am a parent to a middle school and a high school student in District 51, and I represent myself as an individual. Before moving to Grand Junction, I previously taught in the state of Nebraska. At that time, there were no standards or state assessments of any type. The district I taught in was taking on our own task of identifying our essential learnings for students in every grade level, in every content area, K through 12. It was a huge undertaking. There was no guidance from the state, and it was up to us to find resources to guide our choices. Our essentials were vastly different from other districts across the state. Our assessments were self-created and self-scored, so they too differed from even our closest neighboring districts. Students who moved from other states and even our own state had differences in what they were learning in math at the same grade level. It was up to me and one other sixth grade teacher to decide what was important for a sixth grade math student to learn, and I was a first year teacher. When I was hired in Colorado, I was handed a curriculum document based on common standards throughout the state. This was a huge help and guidance for me as a teacher on what students in the state of Colorado are expected to learn at each grade level. It was no longer a guessing game. As the standards are adopted by 44 states, I now know what students outside of Colorado have been taught in mathematics at each grade level. And the resources available to me and other teachers around the Common Core standards are countless. The Colorado academic standards, which meet or exceed the Common Core state standards, are rigorous. I was one of the folks who has followed the Common Core state standards since the very first draft, provided comments and feedback every time there has been that opportunity available, and changes happened. The last several years I've been teaching mostly students who've been historically below proficient on the CSAP and TCAP tests. The material is challenging for them, but attainable, and I am in awe of the mathematics they are learning. In order to assess their understanding of this material, we have been able to develop high-level assessments in our math department and within our district with the help of many available resources that come through the park or that model park. After I visited with other math leaders across the country at the recent conference of the National Council of Teachers of Supervisors of Mathematics last month, I was so pleased to find that the state of Colorado and that District 51 are leading the way in our work around the Common Core state standards and park preparation. I would ask the board to support our continued progress by holding strong with our current Colorado academic standards in mathematics.
Thank you. Sonia Simeon.
Good afternoon. My name is Sonia Simeon, and I lead Stand for Children Colorado. We're an education advocacy organization. A few months back, I presented the names of more than 7,500 Coloradans who show their support for the higher academic standards that this board adopted several years ago. We've come to demonstrate once again the growing and overwhelming statewide support for the standards. Our petition is now up to 9,668 verified names. We collected these signatures through an online petition that we launched several months ago, and the people who signed the petition, as you can see from the map, come from a wide variety of Colorado zip codes, including many from Mesa County. Since they signed the petition, these individuals have continued to champion this issue. You may recall several months back receiving several hundred emails from people thanking you for your commitment to raising the academic bar for our students through high standards and aligned assessments. That was just one of several actions that these Coloradans have taken to show policymakers like you that the Colorado academic standards and aligned state assessments are a critical step to fulfilling the goal of giving every student a high-quality education, no matter their zip code. Beyond this online petition, we have given voice to several advocates who have spoken to you either today or at past meetings. We're especially excited to be connecting you today with a group of great educators from Mesa County. In working with them, we've learned that there's a strong network of teachers and school leaders in Mesa County who are extremely excited about the standards and assessments, and they see them as a critical tool to help them do their jobs well. They can't take their time away from their students to come to Denver each month, so they're thrilled to have the chance to speak with you today. And because you as a board recognize the need to meet them in their own backyards, we wanted to acknowledge you by doing the same. I hope that the 9,600 emails, names in this petition, and the voices that have come forward serve as a constant reminder of the support that the standards and aligned assessments have across our entire state. And if they don't, rest assured, we'll keep coming back to remind you. Thanks for all you've done.
Thank you. Nola Daly.
Hi, I'm a school teacher here in
Double-check the button. You got a little green light down there?
Yep, it's okay. Green.
Fire away.
I teach out at Dos Rios Elementary School, and I teach in the technology lab. I was also the coordinator for the state assessment this year for the fourth and fifth graders. And it took a long time, and to do three 80-minute tests for science and social studies was a little overkill for those kids. We are a lower-income school. We have kids there that are the severe needs and the EBD kids that are emotionally, behaviorally disturbed. And those kids couldn't do it. And we have teachers that are going to be graded on those in their assessment, or their evaluations are also in the test scores. And so when you have kids that are not taking the test because they can't or they won't, to have those counted against those teachers that are trying so hard and making an effort with those kids, it really is degrading for the kid, for the teachers. We had several teachers that the kids didn't even attend our schools, and yet they're still in our roles. So I think that needs to be looked at as to how those tests are being graded. I think the tests were great, that it had a lot of rigor in them, but to have three 80-minute sessions for elementary kids is way too much. And next year when we go into the math and reading and language arts, that's going to be really a lot of time to take away from those kids. And when you give those kids a test and they sit there for 80 minutes, they're pretty much done for the rest of the day. So if we could pare down, we also do a STARS test, which gives us immediate feedback and shows growth. And I guess there's one called iReady coming up. It then that's like test. And I don't know anybody in their occupation that goes through so many tests. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So that's the end of the list of people who had actually signed up. Is there anyone else who has not signed up who would like to speak? I don't see anyone.
Going once, twice, three times.
I think then we will stand in adjournment, or recess, excuse me, until 9 a.m. tomorrow morning.